I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Welcome back to Angel on Top, a podcast where we watch and discuss every episode of Angel, one by one, spoiler-free, and in tandem with no one. Everything has changed. We're all alone. I'm your co-host, LaToya Ferguson, a.k.a. the comatose chase of the buffering verse, a.k.a. one half the gun squad, bang bang, but like a gavel, never forget, a.k.a. the go-up to Morgan Sullivan, a.k.a. daddy, even if no one can remember that, a.k.a. Captain Forehead. I'm adjusting my beanie. It's my forehead.
I like it.
A.k.a. even more annoying new nicknames to come.
And I'm your co-host, Morgan Ludich, a.k.a. the Winifred Burkle of the Buffering Verse, a.k.a. the other half of the gun squad. Bang, bang, order in the court. A.k.a. the Sullivan to LaToya's Gilbert, a.k.a. also, unfortunately, I remember the daddy stuff, a.k.a. William Bloody, a.k.a. even more annoying new nicknames to come.
And this week, we're watching Angel Season 5, Episode 5, Life of the Party. Life of the Party was written by Ben Edlund and directed by Bill Norton. It aired on the WB on October 29th, 2003.
And this is the one where Lauren pulls out all the stops throwing the Wolfram and Hart Halloween party. So much so that he's accidentally influencing everyone around him to do exactly what he says.
All right. So, important question, Morgan. Mm-hmm. Were you happy that Angel's hair was correct in this episode?
Yes.
Back to normal, back to life, back to reality.
Thank God. and he was like, it wasn't enough for his hair to be back to normal. They were like, also, he's going to be naked a bunch, Morgan. So honestly, a pretty good app for me.
It's like, even though he was gooey at the beginning, also, like, he was dressing the right way instead of, like, in a suit, too. So I'm like, is it just like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's my guy.
You got a black shirt, got a leather jacket on. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, that's the sad emo boy I know.
Oh, yeah, and he was naked a lot, and that was good, kind of. Half of it was good. His half was good.
I didn't like the things he did while he was naked, but I liked that he was naked.
Yeah, we're being positive.
Yeah. But what about you? How'd you feel about this one?
I was happy about Angel's hair. So we were talking a little bit before we started recording, and this is, you know, technically, you know, a fun episode of Angel. And you know what happens when it's fun. Like, the score is telling you it's fun. And those are, I love a fun episode of Angel. But we were also discussing how this episode seems very rushed. And I feel like, and I kind of talked about it in the last episode, like, the Lorne setup for all of this was kind of whiffed because of what the network wanted the season to be. It's like, they're trying to sprinkle it in with, like, an errant previously that seemingly has nothing to do with the episode, or just, like, one Lorne scene, and you're like, okay. And it's to set up this episode, but because of, like, the criteria they have to accomplish for the WB, especially this early in the season, it's messy.
Yeah, it's messy. This episode has to do a lot, and it repeats doing a lot. Like, Lorne having to visit everybody and then be like, Angel's office in this many minutes. Like, I get that it's fun, but it's a lot of, like, doing the same beat and rushing a lot. Like, I felt this episode felt so dense to me as a result, so it was really hard to take notes on, which shouldn't be a problem for anyone who's not podcasting about this, but I lost some of the fun because I felt like it was, like, sweating, and I was sweating trying to keep up with it.
Oh, wait. So when you're watching shows for fun, you don't also just take notes, like, copious notes?
No, not always.
You're not taking notes when you're watching your Bravo shows?
I mean, I'm taking mental notes. I'm remembering things that I'll remember for the rest of my life, obviously.
Crazy. Don't understand you at all.
I know.
Me watching Boston Public taking notes.
I love it. Well, your thoughts they're called my tweets. Preserved.
the notes are called my tweets.
Yeah.
When I was looking, you know, to see the previously counts last episode, I did watch. I just watched, like, the whole opening for this episode. I'm like, hey, I'm having fun. I don't have to watch any spooky stuff right now. I did everything I could to put off watching Hellbound. So I'll watch the whole first act of this episode.
But you ended up liking Hellbound, even though it was still scary. But I'm glad that you liked it.
But you can see how I tried to avoid it. If I could have found a way to not watch the episode and talk about it, I would have done it.
I know. You're very brave.
Yay. We'll get the Lorne episode. Yeah. And that's always good.
I love Lorne. I love, and as I was saying before we started recording, I love Big Hulk Lorne.
Yes, of course you do.
So two Lornes in this. But I don't know. It did feel a little bit like Lorne's been backgrounded so much that suddenly, like, we had to go a mile a minute to catch up with what was going on with him. And that was a little aggravating to me. But, I mean, other than that, it is fun. There is a lot of fun to be had, but there's so much Eve in this episode.
There's good stuff. There's so much Eve. Which is not the good stuff. There's more reiterating what the show is right now. I'm curious to know when that will stop.
Yeah, I wonder when they'll feel like they've stopped potentially picking up new viewers, but maybe they'll do it over and over again for, like, the first half of the season.
You're going to say for the rest of the season. I'm like, oh my God.
No, I think it's going to be, like, the first half. We're going to be doing it over and over again.
Yes, this was the Halloween episode, so we're at the end of October for this one, so.
Yeah, I bet all the way through Christmas we're going to be
here. Yeah, until, the second half of the season, it seems like, so.
That's what I'd guess.
Keep track of that, people. It's one of those things where if you're not like, again, if you're not taking notes, mm-hmm. you're probably not going to like really think that much about it, but like it's there. It's there it in the dialogue a lot.
Which like that's like a problem with network and studio stuff. I think mm-hmm. when you're fighting the battle of like serialization versus episodic, your network will be like, every episode should be able to be someone's first episode. Mm-hmm. And that's really hard with a show like Angel that has like a real backlog of mythology and a lot of characters and a lot of things that have happened and a lot of things that have been erased from the canon that only Angel remembers. Like there's so much. You can't just like do it pithily at the top of every episode. I think like the CW had every show do like saga cells up mm-hmm. top for a while. You know, my name's Oliver Queen. This is my city.
And welcome to Jackass.
Arrow.
I don't know why you're giving him that voice.
That's the voice he has in my mind.
It's a lot deeper than Stephen Amell's voice.
Yeah.
But yeah, because ABC did it too. Like Castle mm-hmm. and like all their procedurals did it as well. Yeah.
I find that that's much better than restating in dialogue who everyone is and why we like them and what we're doing.
Bird Notice had that. Like,
yeah.
And then your viewers grow to love it and they will repeat it over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Like Michael Chazin, who can recite the whole Bird Notice opening from memory and does it whenever he wants to make me laugh.
It's great.
It's so funny. I highly recommend if you see him on the street, stop him and have him do it for you.
You know, spies, a bunch of bitchy little girls.
When you're burned, that's it.
Miami.
I've never seen that show once in my life, and yet I have heard the opening from Michael so many times now.
Morgan, you should watch some Burn Notice.
I went to a Comic-Con panel once. It felt bad. Because I hadn't seen it. But shall we dive right in?
So we open with an ominous playing of Don't Leave Me This Way. Mm-hmm. And then we segue into the funky score. Not as good as Don't Leave Me This Way, an iconic song.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Lorne is walking, talking, doing deals. Just like we've seen him throughout this season, he strides right on up to Harmony, who he has nicknamed Harmonica. A+.
And he's Lorne Tunes.
Him back?
He's Lorne Tunes.
Lorne Tunes killed me. So Lauren's looking for Angel. Harmony says he's coming back from a mission that did not go so well, and he's probably in a bad mood. Cue Angel walking in, covered in goop. I loved it.
Of course, because his hair was back.
I loved it because his hair is back, but also I also subscribe to like Griffin Newman of Blank Check fame's theory that every movie should start with the protagonist spilling a cup of coffee on themselves so that you like them right away and like feel for them. And that is Angel walking in covered in goop to me. Like he's like, ugh. Like it's not sexy to be the lead of Wolfram and Hart. It's not about like all the cool gadgets and the stuff. Like it still has some of that gritty, messy, shitty shoestring budget early Angel feelings, which I prefer. It felt like hearkening back to that.
Mm-hmm.
So the neural intercept grenade that he was testing out didn't work. Yeah, Wes was like, how did it work? And Angel was like, it didn't. Hence the goop.
And the whole time they're like trying to figure it out, I'm like, how do we know Angel just didn't know how to use it?
Yeah.
This man knows nothing about technology, and this is apparently technological and mystical.
Truly, like, everything that he looks at, I'm sure he's like, what's this gizmo?
This newfangled invention.
I love our old man.
He has said newfangled. He has said it before. He said that about the diapers, about Connor's diapers.
Oh, right, the non-cloth diapers are newfangled. Oh, I love you, King. So Lorne and Angel sync up. Lorne wants to talk about the party. Angel blows him off. He's tired. And the goop stings.
Aww.
The goop is Thraxus blood. He just killed the Thraxus. So Lorne has a good joke where he tells his assistant, who's following him everywhere, that you need to cross the Thraxus off the guest list, which I dug. He's walking and talking again. He goes into his office and he tells his assistant, like, grab a bagel. You look waxy. And I felt for Lauren's assistant. Every assistant character in media, I'm like, I feel you, dude. You deserve better.
Yeah, there's a lot of messages on Lauren's office door.
Yeah, a lot of post-its. So in Lauren's office, which have we seen it yet?
No, we have not.
This is the first time we're seeing it.
This is where I was like, an office fit for a diva.
Yes. I mean, I love the big sculptural like rings behind his desk. But most of all, I love the like velvet tufted wall behind his vanity. Like that is some Lauren Vegas dressing room shit. I love it. So he sinks into his chair and he's like looking tired. And his reflection starts talking to him and he's
totally
like,
normal.
Oh yeah. Classic, super, super normal stuff. He's like, seems like you're hurting, but you better keep going. Like, come on, show must go on. Come on, Lauren, like go, go, go. And Lauren's so pissed. He yells at his reflection to shut up and shatters the mirror.
His reflection's an asshole.
Yeah. But, his reflection is not to be denied. And he sings, and he hypes Lauren up, and Lauren goes back out there swinging.
Ruh-roh. God.
Ruh-roh is written in my notes.
Jesus.
We go to titles. We come back. We are in Angel's corporate apartment, and who is there interrupting his shower and my nice naked angel scene that I was really enjoying? But Eve, she's like,
my first note is, who asked for this?
Nobody.
You didn't ask for this.
She's like, well, your door was unlocked. Well, it wasn't. I had a key. And he just like holds out his hand and she puts the key in it and he throws it away. And I'm like, yes, he has no patience for her. Why are we pretending he has patience for her?
I don't believe it. I looked it up because I was like, again, like kid playing dress up. There is a 10-year age difference between these two actors.
Woof.
And it is apparent.
It is very apparent. Eve comments on how Angel takes long showers for a guy and asks him if he was having gentleman time, aka jerking off, which made me long for death.
Where is HR?
Where the fuck is HR?
Is she HR? Like,
I'm
what the
worried
fuck?
She is. Eve tells Angel, like, I'm here because you stood me up for our 7:30 meeting. And he's like, oh shit, I'll get some pants.
What was their meeting supposed to be? Did they even talk about what it was supposed to be?
It was supposed to be about the party.
Oh.
And later when they're like talking party stuff, she's like, this is what the meeting was about.
But also, like, what does she have to say about the party?
That there's a party tonight.
Lauren should be in this meeting anyway.
I agree. And this meeting could have been an email.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in the elevator.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't know how to check his email. That's the thing.
Oh, you're right. He doesn't. Nothing for Angel can be an email. So they're in the elevator. He's talking to Eve about his feelings because she's like, how's it going? And he's just like spouting off about how, you know, it's hard running Wolfram and Hart. And is he doing the right thing?
Yeah.
And I'm like, since when is she your confidant?
Because because now he has to tell us what the show is, which he says, look, I spent years doing everything I could to bring this company down. Now I'm the CEO and I have to question every move I make because any one of them could be exactly what the senior partners want. So you could have said that at the beginning of the show. My name's Angel. I'm a vampire with a soul. When you're a vampire with a soul. Since what is he her confidant? Since they're having snappy dialogue like she's Cordelia, the bottle thing? That is not for her to be saying. That is Cordelia dialogue. Come on.
I didn't care for it. You can't just put Cordelia's words in her mouth. Like it's such a pale imitation. It just isn't working. Eve tells Angel he needs a release because he bottles up his feelings. Angel's in denial about that, but the second the elevator doors open on a big papier-mâché skull, he punches it clean across the room, kind of proving her point. We go out into the lobby, and he's like, why does it look like we're throwing a party? Well, Angel, it's because you're throwing a party. It's the Wolfram and Hart Halloween bash, but there's one problem, Lauren says. Nobody's coming. Or at least nobody cool is coming.
And then we see all the cool people that did come.
Yeah. So none of the A-list people have RSVP'd, and Angel's like, great. I don't even want to have this party. I don't give a shit if no one comes. Sounds awesome.
Sounds like a party to me.
Yeah. Can I read at the party?
Yes, it's the reading party. It's the reading slash brooding party. Oh, God. Don't put that on him.
Would Angel get along with Rory because they both just want to read books alone by themselves?
Oh, no. He could not stand the Gilmore girls.
He'd kill them.
Soul or not, he would kill them.
He's a good person, and he'd kill them, and I'd support it, because I don't care for the Gilmore girls, as I've said.
You have said this.
And I know I'm going to get guff for it, but...
Have you gotten guff yet for your opinions
on Gilmore Girls? Not any internet guff, but, like, I get IRL guff. People are always like... I get the worst response to saying I don't like it, which is, oh, my God, it seems like something you'd like. And I'm like, that's the meanest thing to say to someone about something they don't like. I'm like, well, I don't fucking like it. Anyways.
I accept it because... I've seen Bunheads. I understand how someone cannot like the work of Amy Sherman-Palladino.
Mm-hmm. Lorne, like, upon meeting Angel's negativity, is getting a big ouchie in his head. He's like, ah, you're killing me. Can we talk about this when you're calmer? And Angel, yeah. Like, seeing that Lorne's really unwell. This is where I felt like this is the Angel that I know yet again. Because he, like, seems to care about Lorne's well-being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Lorne's like, I can see you're in a state, Angel. When Angel is clearly not in a state, Lorne's the one in a state.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, meet when you've calmed down. So in your office in 25 minutes. Bye! Down in the lab, Fred and Wes are trying to figure out what to do about the grenade that didn't work. And as it says in my notes, Knox is here. Sad face.
Oh, my notes are, oh great, Knox is here. Parentheses, enough.
I don't like this man. He says, he describes the grenade and like how it works fairly well. He says the grenade is a little spell-casting robot. If it doesn't work, there's a problem with the spell or there's a problem with the robot. They just have to figure out which and fix it. So Wes... thinks it's the fault of the robot, aka Fred and Knox's work, and Knox wonders why it couldn't be the spell that's the problem, and Wes does not take kindly to that feedback. Lorne shows up, and he is like, I need help, like, with the party, and both Fred and Wes are like, I wasn't planning on going to the party, I'm a huge dweeb.
Yeah, I wrote bad friends in all caps.
Yeah, rude. Lauren is very hurt and is like, and he's like, but you have to come to the party. And Knox is like, oh, yeah, you have to.
Let me tell you a story about how I'm evil.
Yes, he starts describing the events of the last party, which sounds like a huge animal sacrifice was made. And he's like gleefully discussing it and then kind of cuts himself off. And I'm like, am I supposed to find this charming?
Yes, but also, I do not.
I love evil boys. LaToya, can you confirm this?
Morgan does love evil boys.
So if you have an evil boy that I just have absolutely nothing in the tank for, I think you've failed. I think that is important to say. Because I love evil boys. And I don't care for this one.
Yeah, Lorne asks, why is it so hard to get anyone to have fun around here? To which I say, in my notes, yeah, I thought this season was supposed to be fun.
So Fred and Wes were going to, like, work all night, and Lorne is like, no, Knox, you handle this. Like, he can fix it, because you guys are coming to the fucking party. And they're like, okay. So he orders them to meet in Angel's office in 15 minutes. Then he goes to visit Gunn. Gunn's hanging out. He's prepping for a deposition. And Lauren's like, I need your help turning Angel around on this party. And Gunn's like, sure, I have to work on this deposition. And Lauren talks to him about how he's doing, like, pretty well at the company. Isn't that here? Is that here that happens? Or is that later?
Yeah. Explain it to me, because he's telling him to stake his, like...
Is this the stake the territory?
Yeah, I'm like... can't really figure out what he's supposed to be staking.
So, yeah, he kind of is like, you, Charles Gunn, have like bigger and better things on the horizon because you're becoming a big shot here at Wolfram and Hart. You should really like get out there and stake your territory and make sure everyone knows that like you're the big man on campus. And Gunn's like, yeah, I appreciate that. Like, he is all in on this law thing, which continues to be worrying. And Lorne is like, you know, Angel's office, 10 minutes. So in roughly 10 minutes at Angel's office, they're all hanging out in there, including Spike, who is pissed because doing shit on Halloween is passe when you're magic.
Yes.
Which I do love.
Although, again, Spike, you broke that rule in Buffy season 2.
Truly. Lorne comes in. He's like, sorry to leave you all waiting. And he speaks to Angel, like he speaks for everyone to Angel, saying this party is very important to us.
And you know what? Gunn does actually have his back.
Yeah, he says it's good PR and we can't afford to lose face by throwing a bad party, which is valid. Angel's like, I don't really want to hang out with a bunch of evil people. Like, what if the evil people are holding grudges against us or each other? Like, it could turn into a bloodbath. And Lorne's like, sounds like every good party I've ever attended.
Oh, Lorne.
Lorne.
And then Lorne brings up Kiritas and explains what Kiritas is, because you have to be able to dive into this episode never seeing the show before, because that's what we're doing now.
And truly, he has not run Kiritas in so long that it is even worth reminding returning viewers about.
Remember that place they used to ruin all the time?
Yeah, he's like, I have always like run a demon bar where all demons were welcome, and I always made it work. And I'm like, well, didn't the sanctuary spell help?
Until it didn't.
Yeah. Oh god.
Until every time it didn't.
Daniel.
God.
So Eve pipes up and is like,
why?
You have to worry about your employees. Halloween's like Christmas around here. This is a morale thing. And Harmony's like, oh, good, because morale stinks around here.
I'm thinking, isn't it kind of corny for Halloween to be like Christmas to them, considering they're evil and so they shouldn't celebrate Halloween then?
I guess it's like corporate. Like since they are sellouts and suck, like, I feel like it makes sense for Wolfram and Hart to have a Halloween party, even though they're evil, because they're, you know, they're the Walmart of evil. So they gotta have, like, a little thing. You know?
The Walmart of evil, that's redundant.
Yeah, fair enough. So Harmony's like, yeah, morale sucks around here. Everyone hates Angel, and they're scared he's gonna fire them or kill them.
And Angel is shocked by this.
Angel's like, they don't like me?
What's to like, Angel?
They, none of that. Only Eve has seen you naked of all your employees. So he says it's not enough for Angel to tell Lorne to do his best. He's like, Lorne, you do whatever you want. And Lorne's like, that's not enough. I need your help. Cut to. Lorne and Angel are in the limo together. It turns out they're going after one big fish. Archduke Sabacis. Archduke Sabacis, who is nobility from hell, the living end of a pure bloodline of demonic royalty, and the crown jewel of the underworld jet set. Basically, if they can get this guy to come, everyone's gonna follow. And Angel says, this really matters to you, doesn't it? And Lorne's like, yeah. And he goes, no, but like, personally, it matters. Were you happy to see Angel being a good friend? Because, like, fucking finally, Angel's being a good friend again.
It, of course, it never happened to Fred. Like, he would never be a good friend to Fred. But Fred's a shitty friend to him, too, so.
As we know, Fred also a shitty friend in person. But it's nice that at least, like, Angel and Lorne still have a good thing going. Lorne, he's like, I'm on your team, and this is actually something I can do. You know, like, I'm not a fighter and all of that stuff, but I believe there is a purpose to this and that it can help you, even if you don't believe that. And, like, that's really nice. Like, that's so earnest that Lorne's really, like, trying to give his all to this, to, like, for Team Angel reasons. It's nice to see that, and I kind of wish that might have been said earlier.
Lauren talks about how, you know, he's not exceptional like the rest of the team, but like this party is something he can do. And like, he believes it has a purpose that can help Angel, even if Angel isn't. It's like, yeah, it's in terms of like helping his metaphorical soul, not his actual soul maybe, but.
Yeah. It's still like, it still matters, and it's still like part of running this company. So like, Angel's lucky to have him.
And Angel realizes that.
Yeah, which is nice. He does not realize he's lucky to have anyone else.
Well, so the rest of them can go screw. All he needs is Lauren. People are in Vegas, and now it's just a Lauren and Angel spinoff.
All right, I'll take it. So the scene ends with Lauren promising Angel, like, you won't regret this. But that said, can I do most of the talking here? We go to Sebastus's throne room. This dude has horns, and he's got a bunch of, like, little minions with horns, too. Sebastus does not care for Angel. He calls him a restless frog, making lots of waves in his little swamp. And Angel makes a joke that he's just trying to keep the fly population down, which I loved. What a dork. Sebastus was kind of more of an Angelus guy, you know?
Yeah.
So with Sebastus, we go to his throne room. He's a big dude with horns. He has minions with horns. I enjoyed his look. It was spooky.
I figured the thing that you would love is his blue drink boy.
Oh, I love Blue Blood Boy. He's great. When he uncorks his wrist, I screamed.
Yes, I noticed. Morgan's gotta love this shit.
Yeah, he's a dang-ass freak. I love him. I love Angel's joke about the flies. Sebastus is like, yeah, I kind of was more of a fan of Angelus. Also, dude, I can smell the contempt that you have for me. Mm-hmm. And he is also, you know, drinking the blue blood of a little boy that he keeps in a collar, which is, you know, unsettling. But the boy pops a cork out of his wrist to drip the blue into his master's goblet, which I was obsessed with.
He's a demon boy. He's not just like a normal boy.
Yeah, he's a little demon boy. So
that makes this cool.
Yeah, that's what makes this okay. So Sebastus, like, wants some blood boy blood. And Angel's like, no thanks. And Lorne takes a big sip of his and is like, such good blue boy blood.
So you taste great, he says. And the fucking blank face on the boy is hilarious.
It's very good. Perfect.
Yeah, the Archduke's best stuff, that ruled. And again, that is better than all of the upper crust people that we've seen so far. Like, this is cool.
Yes, this actually rocks, but much better than the Great Poupon rich people.
Yeah,
so they leave.
The lifestyles of the rich and famous rich people.
Terrible. So they leave, and Artoad, who's one of his minions, says, like, this is a fucking trap. And Sebastus is like, no worries, we're just gonna go with a ton of fucking weapons.
Yeah, right. We'll just dress appropriately. Reveal. See,
axe.
This is what I like.
It's a good bit. So then we cut to the party. Harmony is dancing by herself on the dance floor.
She knows that Don't Leave Me This Way is a fucking pop. The party is popping for Harmony.
I love her.
We get the return of TJ Thine's lawyer, the pre-Bones bonesing, if you will.
He's a boner.
Yes, he is a boner, as you dubbed him in the season premiere. He's still around, boning it up.
He thinks it's funny.
Yeah, sucks because of the ritual sacrifice that Nox also misses. So,
yeah, but Lauren is like, shut up and mangle, and he does.
He's so, like, we're off the clock, and Lauren's like, I'm gonna off your clock. If you know, he honestly, it's surprising he wasn't one of the victims of Lauren's subconscious.
Yeah, I was surprised. He seemed very mad at this guy. So Lorne greets a demon who's dressed up as a human being.
A demon named Devlin. I love him. I really do. Like, I knew that, like, the blue drink boy, that was for you. Devlin's for me.
No, My child's an honor student. I love him. I love his sweater.
My other car is a Lamborghini, which he says to avoid answering the question of if that's human skin or rubber on his face. 100%
very
human skin.
Good stuff.
I love it.
Made me incredibly happy. Then, Lauren.
Devlin's also enjoying the music. People have good taste.
Good for Devlin. Yeah, he knows what a party is.
I mean, yeah, so they obviously spent their budget on the song because everything else is like
boop-a-doop-boop-boop-a-doop-boop.
Is that Charmed replacement music?
God, that the Charmed you're unbelievable.
Here we go. Say, what is it like?
You're incredible.
You're incredible. That's my song.
That's my jam. So Fred and Wes are over in the corner, and Fred's watching Lauren socialize, and she's like, he's so good at this. Like, how does he do it? I hate parties. I just end up by the snacks trying to look busy. Oh, Lauren Fred. Greets Fred
if only
and Wes.
Gunn and Fred still interacted. Gunn could make Fred be a party person, but I don't even know if Gunn's a party person now.
Yeah, does the law made him boring? It seems like it.
Yeah, sure, he's attractive. We all know this. But attractive people can be boring, too. Again, to reference Gilmore Girls, John Hamm's brief appearance in it was like as the most boring man alive. And he's John Hamm.
Well, just because most hot people don't have to be interesting because they're hot, you know? Like, they never had to learn to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sounds nice.
You're like, I'm very interesting.
I'm interesting as fuck because I had to be.
Tell us all your interesting facts.
Don't put me on the spot. So Lauren is like, hey, wallflowers, come on, get the party started. Get drunk. Have fun. And Wes and Fred obey. Then over in Angel's office, Angel is there hanging out. And oh, Lauren is pissed.
Oh, sorry. He says, have fun. They should be three sheets to the wind by now, he says. And no, Wes is drinking a beer very slowly.
He is sipping a beer.
What if this man, I assume in season four, he was just drinking brown liquor. And now he's trying to pretend he likes beer.
Yeah, baby. So in Angel's office, Lauren's like, why are you still in here? Like, come on, you gotta mingle. And Angel's like, I'm busy. I'm brooding.
Yeah, I have things. Turns out he's watching hockey.
And his team's losing. Sad yeah, face.
Of course. Angel.
I loved this so much. This when makes Lauren's head hurt a bunch.
Obviously, the hockey thing is just because Boreanaz is a huge hockey fan. But like,
yeah.
In continuity, when do you think Angel became a fan of hockey? When it was invented? Besides that, obviously.
When it was invented. I honestly think in his rat era, like, because hockey's a really violent sport. So if you're trying to kind of, like, cut back on your own personal violence, but maybe need a violence fix, hockey could be good for you. Because sometimes they're just fighting.
I feel like that would rile him up, though, and then he'd, you know, want to get violent himself.
I don't know. Maybe that's what I'm imagining, is that it's somewhat of a release for him to, like, participate in on the sidelines. But I don't know. Do you have any theories on when he got into hockey? I know nothing about hockey.
All I know is that because Angel has said before when he was talking about baby Connor, remember? That, like, games are usually at night, and of course they're indoors, so obviously that's the reason why he liked it. But, like, what would be the thing? I don't know. I feel like maybe he cried when, like, the miracle happened.
Oh, I bet he loves the – he didn't shut up about the miracle. And, again, I know nothing about the miracle because I know nothing about hockey.
I don't know. It's called The Miracle on Something. I just know the movie's called Miracle, and it's The Miracle on Something.
Yeah, we're talking about the Miracle.
we're actually talking about Gordon Bombay. He was the Minnesota Miracle Man, they said.
Jesus.
What? You don't want, like, me referencing Mighty Ducks on the podcast?
I love it.
It doesn't seem
I
like
just
you do.
Forget the names of everyone in the Mighty Ducks. Like,
you forget,
like,
the name
the
Gordon
plaid.
Bombay?
100%.
Wow.
It's been a long time since I Mighty Ducked.
Insane to me.
I know, I'm sorry.
You don't watch the Mighty Ducks every weekend?
No, I was more of a, I was a Parent Trap girl.
You can like both. You know this, right?
You can. It's just in terms of like the VHSs I had access to.
Oh, you weren't, you didn't get like all the VHSs?
I mean, I had some, but it was also about like which ones like the after school programs I was at had and stuff.
This is part of her interesting life. I'm getting her to open up.
Two different Annies. Both movie versions of Annie and The Parent Trap.
Oh.
So like if it was about a little redheaded girl, I could watch it. If it wasn't, good luck to me.
But also, yeah, like I'd watch like Annie maybe once and I would probably just choose one of them and then be like, I'm just gonna watch Parent Trap over and over and over again.
Yeah, I mostly watched Parent Trap because
I just
rules.
Watched Parent Trap in my head over and over and over again.
God, Nancy Myers, come on the pod. You have opinions on Angel, don't you? Don't you, Nance?
I think she would. You could get her to have opinions.
I would love her to. So anyways, Lorne freaks out at Angel. He experiences more awful head pain and he covers it. At the party, Lorne is walking Angel around. Finally, some people have joined Harmony on the dance floor. Harmony goes up to Spike. She wants someone to dance with her.
Aww. It's like, and he's like, oh, I'm not gonna do it. And he's a jerk. And she's like, and she points out, like, what are you even doing here then? Like, yeah, dude, you're like a ghost, but you don't have to be at the party.
You really don't. We have this but also, Angel, Lorne, and Spike scene.
To note, I'm saying this in like good fun. I am like Spike now, as far as I can see.
Yeah, I'm liking Spike. It's also it's just like, if you hate this, why are you here?
Because he's Spike, and that's what he is. He's gonna do. He's gonna be like, this is so stupid. It's like, well, you don't have to be here.
He loves to go to things and complain. And mm-hmm. He says to himself, why am I here? and he's talking
because Lorne did say everyone has to come or whatever during that meeting. So, yeah, he... Mm-hmm. Which, that meeting that he decided to be in, there's no reason for him to be in the meeting.
He was not invited.
At least this kind of like shoehorning Spike in, it's like, it's because he's clearly so bored. And it's mm-hmm. like, okay. And we're not like, yeah. dealing with his jealousy. It's, yeah, we were
just nice.
We were in rough waters those first few episodes.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a yikes. So Spike's like, who cares? The party's dead. Who gives a shit if you kill people here, Angel?
Jesus.
And Sebastus arrives, and Angel and Lorne go to greet him.
Yeah, Lorne tells Spike to be more positive, and mm-hmm. Angel. Lorne also tells Angel to be nice to Archduke when he like greets him, and Angel is nice.
Angel's nice. He's trying so hard to schmooze. It's actually hilarious.
He's like money monster Angel. That's how he's acting. Mm-hmm.
Yes, very provider era Angel. Yeah. Like he's so like.
What a fun episode.
It's just a people pleaser. One of Sebastus's guys, Artoad, is wearing a jacket made of a Pylian person.
Little bitch, because Artoad was there when they were meeting and everything. And so this is a statement.
It's very fucked up. He asks Lorne, anyone you know? Rude. Lorne drags Angel away.
I'll let you know right now, he's the one that dies.
Thank you. Lorne drags Angel away, like, because he's schmoozing so painfully. And we get a Fred and Wes scene. They are, much like Lorne said, three sheets to the wind now. They're drunk as hell.
And
Fred
all over each other.
Fred's talking about how she was Raggedy Ann for seven Halloween straight.
Where? See, this is, again, why we need Cordy, because I want Cordy's reaction to this.
I need it. Because I need Cordy to be like, were you just wearing your normal clothes, Fred?
God, I wish you could have told this story in season three so we could get a Cordy reaction.
Would have loved it. But as they're walking around, they notice, ew, someone peed on the floor.
Peeing all over.
Gross.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
We get a Lorne Gunn scene, Gunn's networking. He asks Lorne, you know, God, like your energy levels are crazy. How do you do it? And Lorne's like, well, between you and me, I had my sleep removed, which is something Wolfram and Hart can do for you if you want.
A month ago, which again is why they were weaving little things in weirdly.
He has not slept in a month. And Gunn's like, I love that. I'm going to look into it.
Yeah.
And like they talk about it, like plastic surgery, just like a little nip in and, you know, 20 minutes in and out.
It's like a pause. And he's like, Lorne, that's great. And I'm like, I don't know that Gunn should. Is he drunk? Because like he's just like so far just going to the party is the only directive he has besides peeing right now. So like what is Gunn's thought process and his reaction?
I mean,
again,
it seems...
You can't say they didn't change you, dude.
Yeah, it seems like Gunn, like, is pretty, like, has officially sipped on the Kool-Aid. Maybe he hasn't chugged it, but, like, he
sipped
seems
on that blue drink.
Fairly indoctrinated. Yeah, he uncorked a little blood boy. A fine vintage.
Crack open a can of blood boy.
Oh my God.
Meanwhile, the Archduke and his people think Angel's working on a trap. Mm-hmm. He is not.
Yeah. And like the plan is like, well, we kill everyone if they try to make a move. And Blood Boy finds some more pee.
And he says, pee pee. And I am tickled pink. I'm sorry. See, this is the good stuff from Ben Edlund.
Wow, that's such a Morgan joke to laugh at, and I didn't like it, and you did. I can't believe it.
Oh, you didn't like pee-pee?
I was like, pee-pee, how juvenile.
But also, like, how old is Blood Boy?
I don't know.
He could be, like, 5.
I'm worried about Blood Boy, I gotta say.
He could be
say.
5 or 500, that's the thing.
Absolutely. It's
and
unclear.
That's why it's funny he said pee-pee.
Fair.
The things that he had me with the pee-pee, him literally running for his life as soon as possible. He's like, bye.
That I loved. So we have a Angel and Eve scene. Eve is like, wow, look at you ass kissing. I didn't know you had it in you, even though it was like, obvious you were faking it.
Yeah, Angel's like, it was an act, I think. Because, yeah, it was a spell thing.
Yeah, he like felt it.
Yeah. But yeah, she said, you could see it all the way in the cheap seats how much of a performance that it was. And then he calls her cheap.
Yeah.
This crackling chemistry. Oh,
wow, God. I wish they'd just fuck already.
This is what cinema used to be.
Up. was this, moonlighting? So Lauren pops over to them and he's like, get a room, you two. And I write a sub bullet point in my notes that says, I hate this. Then cut to Angel's office.
Remember, just imagine it's Marina Baccarin and like be even more upset.
It's not fair. It's not fair for us to know that now because like that's unfair to Sarah Thompson that information got out.
Unfair to Sarah Thompson.
It is.
I mean,
yeah. What's there to say?
I mean, yeah, exactly. It's just, I've seen enough of Sarah Thompson's work to know her limitations as an actress, and they're all here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we cut to Angel and Eve furiously making out and ripping each other's clothes off. And normally, I would be celebrating this kind of behavior, and I can't. Which, again, is another, like, you can't get me to like the evil boy, and you can't get me excited about Angel fucking. Like, that's problems right there.
In
the bathroom. Mm-hmm.
1 second. I will say, you know, I'm actually happy Angel is getting some, just like get some of that stress out. And there's absolutely obviously no risk at all of anything love happening.
Yeah.
Love.
No risk of perfect happiness there.
Yeah.
So we cut to the bathroom. Artoad, the minion in the Pylian jacket, is taking a poop, I guess. And someone's knocking at the door and they're very insistent, so much so that they rip off the door and kill him. Ruh-roh.
I mean, then, I don't feel bad for him, but like,
not at all.
Hey, he's made more of an impression, like just as the little muscle than, again, the Grey Poupon rich guys did. So
absolutely. We go out to the dance floor. It's popping. Everyone's dancing. I write in my notes, wow, am I at P3? Wes is dancing.
Yes, Wes is busting out his moves from She.
I love it. He spins Fred. Yeah. Very cute.
He still has the same moves.
It's great.
No matter how sexy he gets, he will always have the same moves.
And I love that about him.
You think he ever danced with Lila? Lila ever saw him dance and he's like, no.
No. If Lila had seen him dance, they would not be fucking anymore.
It's like, yeah, because I've been re-listening to our podcast and it's like we're talking about and Spin the Bottle if Lila were there and she saw Nerd Wes.
Oh, God. she wouldn't have cared for it.
All the things that if Lila had seen, she would never have fucked Wes.
Oh, God. She was lucky. Yeah, she really only saw the fuckable things.
I love the party is popping, but like Archduke and his dudes are just like on the sidelines. Everyone is going wild. TJ Thine's leading a conga line.
Yeah, I was excited to see the conga line.
Because white people love conga lines.
Who doesn't love a conga line? I mean, I guess opposed white people to it, do but love like, conga lines.
White people do love a conga line.
I don't know if I like to participate in a conga line, but I love to see a conga line. I'm like, ooh, fun! But, like, I can conga line for, like, 20 seconds. After that, it gets boring. Then you're just marching around a room. What's fun about that? Don't come for me, Kathy Hilton.
Did she conga to the public domain?
Oh, she freaked the fuck out at a club in Aspen when people wouldn't do a conga line together and apparently said some slurs.
Jesus. Again, conga lines are so white that they get people to say slurs.
Yeah. Allegedly. Don't come for me, Kathy Hilton's lawyers.
Yeah, as though the Hiltons aren't dropping slurs like flies.
Allegedly. Lawyers don't come for LaToya either. With Fred and Wes, Fred, like, really almost gets into it with one of the minions because she's, like, drunk and ready to fight.
Awesome.
She says she's drunk-faced, and she didn't even drink anything. And Wes, I love this Wes joke. He's like, and I've only had about a third of a half of this beer. And they're like, that's weird that we're drunk and we didn't drink anything, right? Let's go ask Gunn if that's weird. They go ask Gunn if it's weird, and Gunn's peeing on stuff. That's weird.
He pees on Wes's shoe. He should have peed on Fred, if you know what I mean.
If only he had back in the
day. Mark your territory, boy.
So Spike shows up and he loves the party. Like, he's listening to this like shitty electronic music and he's like, this is a great song.
Again, he's like, the greatest song ever written. I'm like, and they're like, okay, that's how we know something's wrong. It's like, again, yeah. If Don't Leave Me This Way was playing, okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's not, it's not the bop-a-dope, bop-bope, bop-a-dope.
Beep-a-dope-bop-bop. And like, if you think about it, Lauren told him to think positively and look at him now.
Mm-hmm. They realize, yeah, Spike's how they know it's a spell, and then they realize it's Lorne-related. Lorne-lated. Mm-hmm. So.
As they say.
Yeah, they take him to Angel's office.
And he's like, I swear I didn't do anything. I swear I didn't do anything. And they see an unfortunate sight, which is Angel is fucking Eve behind the couch. Why behind the couch?
Hey, I'm happy it's not on his furniture.
I mean, I guess, but I'm also like, wouldn't it be more comfortable on the couch?
It's because, like, you have to cover things up, obviously. There's no covering.
I understand for that reason, but it just doesn't feel motivated.
Yeah, it's literally just for blocking purposes and such.
I didn't care for it. Spike's very happy for him. And
yeah, because that's, vividly, that is in the promo for this episode. It's like, oh, Angel's getting some. Good on you, mate. That's in the trailer for this one. And Gunn is like, what are you doing with that? Like, what is he going to call her?
I don't know.
That what?
I would have liked to hear it.
Jesus, Gunn.
This is where Wes says that this means Eve is under the effects of the spell, presumably. I love. Wes says,
Lorne's doing it something to all of us.
I am not.
Everything he's told us to do, we're doing. Spike's thinking positive. Gunn is peeing all over the office.
And we're a little bit drunk.
Yes, but not because we drank, because Lorne told us to be drunk.
Lorne told you to pee all over the office?
Lord, I hope so.
Yeah, Angel's like, Lorne told you to pee all over the office? And Gunn's like, Lorne, I hope so. Otherwise, he has a big problem.
Otherwise, he just pees places now?
That's part of it. But yeah, then he remembers the territory thing, which I'm still not quite sure why it was a directive.
Mm-hmm. It's a little loose, but I get it's fun.
Yeah.
It's funny.
It makes sense for at least kind of like the Gunn we knew, who was like kind of challenging Angel, you know, as a leader. But like, that's not really happening here. Or is it?
Yeah.
That'd be cool if that was a thing that's happening.
Yeah, that'd be interesting
cool,
if.
Cool wasn't bad for our friends, but like an interesting
good
thing.
For conflict. Yeah. Yeah. So Lorne is like, no, I'd know if I was doing this. Meanwhile, Spike loves Angel's desk. Angel and Eve at one point do start hooking up again because no one told them to stop. And they're like, hey, you, like as if they're yelling at two dogs, which was very funny to me.
Yeah. Then Gunn brings up the sleep thing and they're wondering what happens when an empath demon is deprived of sleep that long. And then Gunn has to pee more.
And Eve spanks Angel, which is admirable of her. I don't like that it's her doing it, but I do like that someone did it.
Here's the thing. Again, obviously, no risk of him losing his soul with this, but also, he fucks Eve. We've never got him kissing Cordelia in reality.
Yep.
You can go after all the flops, the flop blondes and brunettes you want.
Just not the female lead of the show.
He's kissed Fred.
Yeah, I loved that.
It was a great kiss.
It was cute. Angel's like, why didn't you tell me all this stuff? Angel tells Wes and Fred, like, find Lauren's sleep, put it back in his head. And Spike's like, I'll keep the party alive. And Angel's like, no, that is Gunn's job. And Angel's like, and Eve, you can stay here and we can have more sex, meaning have already fucked.
Ugh. He tells Gunn to check if more people are under the influence of the spell, particularly. Which has to be hard because even like things just like saying you will stay at the party, that counts. And like, you know, TJ Fine and his friend, that's part of it. Like, go have fun. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't tell.
Hey, what are you doing? Did Lauren tell you to do it?
No, weirdo. Leave me alone. Well,
I'm trying to have fun. So then in the bathroom, they find the dead minion body. Ruh-roh.
Poor Arched.
Then I don't give a fuck. I mean, fuck him.
He's a piece of shit. But again, he has more character than a lot of the one-offs we've been seeing so far. So RIP to a real one in that sense.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So, obviously, Archduke thinks this is Angel's doing.
Mm-hmm. So then in the lab, Wes and Fred are looking for Lauren's sleep. And Fred says, I think we have pretty
interesting
lives.
Good thing the lab's on site.
Yeah.
As opposed to like where Gunn got his procedure done, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He got his bootleg Matrix work happened in, you know, the Reseda office or whatever. So I love the exchange between Fred and Wes where she says, I think we have pretty interesting lives. And Wes says, I'd say that's true, given the average. they are being incredibly cute and charming. Like, I'm no longer on the no more Wes and Fred train. Like, I'll allow it.
My thing is, because I did write in the scene, don't be on your incel bullshit, Wes. And he actually watches himself, counselor. But like, Fred, get better. Fred, I thought you had good taste.
Also, like, read the room, too.
They're both very wasted, though, is the thing. Because he's reading it wrong, what she's saying, and she's reading. Yeah, she said, we gotta be friends again. And he said, I always thought we'd be better friends than we are, which could mean just that, friendship.
Yeah.
See, Wes, again, you have to get in the game if you want to be in the game.
Yeah, he just, like, he cannot
close.
He's too British. And she says she wants to be confidants, confiding confidentially. And I write in my notes, drunk Fred is just sober Morgan. what is it that Fred wants to confide in him about? Well, she wants to know what Wes thinks about Knox.
He should have been honest and said, I think he sucks.
Yeah, say he fucking sucks. I write in my notes, no, girl, stop. No. Don't care for it. Then in Angel's office, Archduke Sebastus barges in and Spike's like, great entrance.
He was saying like fantastic entrance or something. Yeah. What a fantastic entrance. Awesome.
Honestly, Marcers is killing it. I'm having a really fun time with him in this episode.
The energy level.
Spike.
So good.
So good. Sebastus has these poison vampire coma darts, essentially, and is like, I'm gonna throw them at you because you killed our toad.
It's fun. It's interesting because, like, oh yeah, it put like Angel in a coma for like a week, it said, right? But like, it would kill Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming she's human, because she's still like, what makes you think I'm human? I'm like, I'm pretty sure you're human. I think you're a basic human who went to UC Santa Cruz.
Yeah, did non-humans go to UC Santa Cruz? So then on the dance floor is being evacuated, and Lorne's human friend, Devlin.
A scream, and like they're like, let's go. We're going out there. Yeah, Devlin is dead on the food.
Rip!
And like, dude, Archduke, it clearly wasn't Angel then. People are dropping like flies, and he was there.
Yeah, Angel's like, I swear this isn't me, and Lauren tries to smooth it over, but it's all going south fast. Then, back in the lab, it turns out at Wolfram and Hart, you don't just have your sleep removed, you can have your ennui removed, which I loved.
Cool.
Wes is, like, reading up in this big, you know, dusty tome on what's going on. Yeah.
I didn't know there were any books there, but he found one.
If there's a book, Wes will find it. Fred found Lauren's sleep, and now she needs to find, like, the delivery mechanism. And it turns out, normally, Lauren can just read destinies, but not having slept for a month allows him to write people's destinies. And if this goes on, his subconscious could start to manifest, which is bad. Then, on the dance floor, Lauren is like, this is all my fault. I'm making people do things. Like, don't worry. It's just me. And then appears Big Hulk Lorne, who I love.
Yeah.
He's Lord.
The manifestation of his subconscious. And I did write in my notes, this is corny as fuck. Not a judgment, but like, this is corny as fuck.
Oh, 100%. But now that we've seen him, does that mean it's time for fuck
it
watch?
It is time. You are correct, ma'am.
Fuck watch.
Okay. Who are you Morgan, fucking? Who are you fucking?
This is a hard one.
Really?
Yeah. Who are you fucking?
Who are you fucking?
Do you have an easy one? I'm fucking Big Hulk Lorne.
Okay.
I want to feel dainty.
Jesus. Me texting Michael. Morgan wants to feel dainty.
So yeah, Michael needs to tack on some mass.
Not even. I won't even like explain it. I'm just gonna say Morgan wants to feel dainty. End of text.
It's true. He'll know what you mean.
He'll be like, no, I don't understand what you mean. But yeah, I realized the way I am lacking any and all sexual drive watching this season. I don't know. I also chose Lauren's hulking subconscious, but that way he can just put me out of my misery.
Yeah. Just flatten me like a pancake.
It's definitely not the sexiest season. I will say that.
Yes, not the sexiest season.
And what we're being told is sexy or sexual tension. No.
All over the map here.
Is there a different definition of sexy and sexual tension that I just don't know? Is it in French? Clearly. Is that why?
So that's fuck watch.
Fuck watch.
I have to say, Spike clearly agrees with us, because upon seeing Big Lord, he yells, "That's one bitch in big suit!" And I loved that. This is where the blood boy runs for his life.
he yanks off his chain and says, "Nope."
Tore the fuck out of there. Good for you. May you find peace, blood boy.
Next Lord... episode is all about him and his struggles as he runs and tries to make a new life.
I would love that.
Except, Lauren unfortunately, it's not the next episode.
Horrifying. Lauren tells his Big Hulk self to cut it out. And Big Hulk Lauren kills, like hits him real hard. It doesn't look good. Meanwhile, Fred and Wes wait for the elevator, but they didn't press the button, which is a really good bit, in my opinion.
It's really funny and really relatable when you're just that drunk and you're like,
come on, come on, come on, come on, come on.
Did I press the button? Maybe?
No. Did you? Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on.
I wonder if...
iconic comedy.
Did Kristen tell us when she wanted to be summoned? Because I'm like, I wonder if Kristen has any fun drunk stories.
Yeah, Kristen, how turnt would you get at the Wolfram & Hart party? And what do you hope Lauren would tell you to do?
Oh, boy.
Let's go over to a certain corner to find out.
Kristen's Corner. Kristen's Corner. It's all Riley Dotson. What the fuck? At 40 is hot. Kristen's Corner is the place for very deep thoughts.
Wow. I couldn't have picked a better way to be summoned this week. Thank you so much, LaToya. Thank you for thinking of me when you think about people having good stories about getting drunk. You're not wrong. I think I have one. I mean, I have a few, but I've chosen one. Morgan, to answer your question, what would I wish that Lauren would tell me to do? I think that I would wish that Lauren would tell me to confess my feelings toward Gunn, because then I could get them all out in the open and like maybe he would like me back. Maybe he wouldn't, but like at least the thing would be done. Okay, so I have a drink here and there. I consume alcohol as an adult person. As a slightly less adult person in my 20s, I consumed more alcohol than sometimes I should have, especially for festive occasions or the festive occasion of like going out to a gay bar and trying to like meet somebody. So this one particular day in probably the year 2002, I'm going to say, I was out at a bar on the Lower East Side of Manhattan and I had a couple of drinks. And if there had been an elevator, I definitely would have stood in it and not pressed any buttons and wondered why it wasn't going anywhere. And I was with a friend of mine and we were talking to these two girls. And at the time I was a vodka tonic drinker and these two girls were chatting us up. One of them was clearly interested in my friend, and I thought maybe the other one was interested in me. Who's to say? They asked if they could buy us a drink. We said yes, they could. They went to the bar, and they came back with two drinks, and they handed me one, and they handed my friend one. And then they were, like, coy and flirty, and they went off to the other side of the bar, and they were doing their own thing over there. And so I am drinking this drink with my friend, and I took a sip of it, and I was like, this is disgusting. I don't know what they got me. Maybe they got me, like, a vodka soda? I don't know, but it tastes totally wild. I have my friend taste it. She takes a sip and she's like, oh, gross. What is this? This is definitely not a vodka tonic. And I'm like, I know, right? I'm just going to like discreetly go up to the bar and tell the bartender that like I was supposed to get a vodka tonic, but I don't know what this is. I go to the bar. I tell the bartender that someone bought me a drink and it was supposed to be a vodka tonic, but it isn't a vodka tonic. And I'm not sure what it is, but it's pretty gross. The bartender takes the drink from me. She smells it. She looks me in the eyes and she's like, this is a glass of water. So, A, I found out that I had asked for a glass of water. And B, I apparently thought, and my friend, that water was simply the most disgusting drink that we had ever tasted in our lives. And that's my story. I don't know. Is it appropriate to tell? Is this a family show? What's happening? So anyway, that's a story about me at the Wolfram & Hart party in 2002. I hope you all enjoyed it. I miss being in the space with you in real time where you can make fun of me as we go. But perhaps next episode, you'll get to talk to me in real time, maybe. And until then, I'm going to go make myself a vodka tonic.
Thank you, Kristen. I hope you're not saying something controversial, like Sarah Michelle Gellar is not a scream queen.
I hope you said something filthy. Then back on the dance floor, Angel starts fighting Big Hulk Lorne. Gun gets thrown across the room by Big Hulk Lorne. Fred and Wes arrive with their backs to the opening of the elevator.
Angel tells Archduke to run. So I think hopefully he realizes what's happening now.
Yeah. And Fred shoots Lorne in the head with the, you know, his sleep, essentially, to which Harmony screams, oh my God, they shot Lorney Tunes, which... Oh, yeah. Good.
That's why I can't trust humans.
Mm-hmm. Big Hulk Lorne turns into confetti, and our Lorne is finally asleep. Yay!
Woohoo.
Cut to a little later in the lobby. The cleanup crew is taking care of everything. The boner says that this is even better than last year.
Yay.
Knox shows up. He fixed the grenade. He finds Fred cleaning.
Fred's doing cleanup, which Knox says, we have people who do that. Let her clean up if she wants to clean up.
She feels bad. Can't you tell this is guilt cleaning?
Oh, but we also have people. Shut the fuck up. Yeah, I think she sees that. There's someone like sweeping right now. Like, shut up.
She knows that. She's helping. That also reminds me of one of my favorite BoJack jokes, which is when Princess Caroline is watering the plants at the agency she's an agent at. And someone says, are you like in charge of this place? And she goes, oh, yeah, this was just my job when I was an intern and no one ever told me to stop doing it. So I'm still doing it. Felt incredibly seen there.
We all know how Fred's job used to be cleaning up the glasses at the hotel. She did that.
She would do that. So Fred is like, yeah, I really wish you'd been at the party. And Knox is like, yeah, I kind of don't know why I'm not. do you want to maybe go get some coffee? And she's like, I could actually use a drink.
And then she gets fucking turnt. And Knox is like, what's happening? And she's like, shut up, bitch. That's my fanfic version of it.
Please, God.
And she throws him off a bridge.
I would enjoy that. Then in Angel's office, Lauren is sleeping on Angel's couch. And they tuck him in.
Wes tucks him in. Friendship.
I was so thrilled.
I will say something I appreciate about this episode is that, like, there's no, like, we're disappointed in you, Lauren, for this. Like, you really fucked up. Because, yeah, it's just like, oh, well.
Everyone knows it wasn't, like, intentional. Yeah. He was trying to help.
Everyone's just happy he's okay.
Yeah. I guess that is kind of, like, the benefit of them working at Wolfram and Hart is that if they fail at Wolfram and Hart-related tasks, it's like, eh, who cares?
The bad guys die. Sucks. Yeah, because earlier Lauren had said to Angel, like, you know, a good host doesn't make judgments. And Angel's like realizes, like, Lauren's subconscious at least was making a lot of judgments.
Yeah. So I guess even Lauren's judgmental sometimes.
He just keeps it on deep down inside. But you can't let it fester, because when it festers, now we see what happens.
Yeah. Then Angel and Eve have a little aside. Angel, like, wants to talk. And Eve's like, about what? This isn't the first time I've had sex under magical influence. I went to UC Santa Cruz. It's not funny to me.
Not a good line, not a good delivery.
Yeah, like, we could do better. Yeah, that didn't hit for me.
Like, yeah, and then Wes asks Angel what's going on with you with that, and Angel's like, I don't know. I'm like, I don't know either. What is this?
I hate it. And then Wes sees Fred and Knox having a drink, and I write in my notes, and he leaves.
He just leaves.
Not in an incel way, just a sad one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wes, state your purpose.
Yeah, make your intentions clear, or fuck someone else. Get on an app.
Don't fuck Eve.
Oh, no, not Eve, though. Then we have
get
an
on
Angel
an app. It's 2003.
Get in the classifieds.
Match.com popping.
Put out some of that in the paper for companionship.
You want some of that heteronormative dating right there?
He'd love it. So Gunn and Angel are talking. Gunn smoothed everything over, and Angel's like, but it's not okay. Like, this place is trying to change us, and we can't ever forget it. You're talking to a person who's been changed the most out of your group of friends.
Yeah, because Gunn's reaction to that is just to say, pretty damn good party, though. Like, nothing. Nothing there.
Mm-mm. So
that's difficult to see and realize, and yikes.
And also for Angel to just not be like, all right, well, I said everyone watch out, so.
I don't know if Angel was like, all right, or he could be clocking this. We don't know. Let's give him some more,
some time. You're right.
After this episode, he did well, so, you know.
Yeah, he did good.
He could be clocking it.
This is where Gunn's like, oh, I peed in your chair, I'm sorry. And Spike's like, I fucking love that. And they're like, stop it with the positivity shit. And he's like, it's not positivity. I just think it's really funny. Good bit. And Lorne mumbles as he's sleeping that he's sorry. And Angel tends to him and is like, it's okay.
Yeah, Lorne says it's hard being the host of the party. And Angel says, you don't have, like, stop trying to be. Like, you can just be you, buddy.
Yeah. And I write in all caps, Angel is someone I know and recognize in this app. And that's good to me.
Yeah, that's our boy. Again, we like Angel the character.
Yeah, I think he's nice and sweet.
I don't know if he's nice.
He's nice to the people he cares about sometimes. He can be nice.
He's kind. He strives to be nice.
He's kind. Yeah, you're right. He's kind.
He's me.
He's a kind boy. Yeah,
he's kind, he's not nice.
My little dark Avenger. Well, overall, this is a fun one. Like, there's a lot to like here. A lot of the bits, I think, are really funny. But it's also just, like, a little too frantic to be kind of, like, top-tier, easy-breezy Buffyverse comedy stuff, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But better than Spin the Bottle. Definitely. Any closing thoughts in the amp before we go over to a certain WB segment?
Any closing thoughts on the app? Let me see, is there anything I didn't mention? No. Again, thumbs up to our Archduke. This is what I want to see.
Yes.
And my From the Heart clients, if it's not going to be like Rod Rowland, I need a demon like this, baby.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think Sebastus was a great success.
Yes.
So now Lauren's sleeping, but the rest of Team Angel's awake. Is there any episode of the WB you'd recommend that they check out?
Yes, actually. Yeah.
Angel is a vampire. Does he even like TV?
I think he'll like the WB.
They get
So this is actually a recommendation for Spike to watch. Halloween is just, it's corny, it's commercial, fake monsters and everything. I think Spike needs to, like, really appreciate the holiday. So he could go back and watch Charmed Season 3, Episode 4. All Hallowell's Eve. Yeah. So you can get some real appreciation for the holiday and the power it has.
And Cole Turner in a wig.
Yeah, the power Cole Turner's wig has. And also maybe he should listen to Cole Turner Cast only on Empire Diaries and Angel on Top Patreon.
Absolutely, he should. Do we think Spike would like Cole Turner? I think that he would be really jealous of Cole Turner.
I think, I was like, jealous or would he like him? I think he would be all in on him, but he would pretend that, like, he doesn't like him.
Oh, yeah. He, like, has a fake grudge with him, but secretly he loves his work.
He really invests in their the love story, Phoebe and Cole. Like, he proudly, like, Spike proudly loves passions. He would, like, hide his, like, charmed thoughts, though. But, like, we would know.
I think it would truly become the same narrative for us that I think our Cole Turner Cast narrative is essentially going to be, which is, like, I think Spike would open being like, Alyssa Milano's a goddess. Like, what's she doing with this scrub, you know? And then by the end, it'd be like, she doesn't deserve him. She doesn't deserve him at all. He's a prince among men. And I would like to see him make that switch.
Yeah.
Aw, okay. Well, that's WB. I love it.
Two thumbs up.
Well, all of that said, we're kind of wrapping things up. If you would like to follow us on socials, you can do so at AngelOnTopCast on both Twitter and Instagram. You can go to angelontop.com to be led to our Patreon, where we do live watches. We have a Discord, and you get access to the aforementioned Cole Turner Cast, which is super fun, and we're having a really great time doing. And if you want to follow me on socials, you can do so at Lorgan Mudich, wherever you're interested in finding me. LaToya, where can the people find you, and should they?
I guess on the Twitter, at LaFergs, don't be a little weirdo, because I know some of you are little weirdos. And as always, rate and review 5 stars on iTunes. Do it, or Apple Podcasts, or whatever it's called, everywhere. Yeah. Tell
it,
me
please.
Good things. Tell Morgan good things.
I like to hear nice things.
Spread the good news.
Really. And all of that said, you are now leaving Wolfram and Hart. We do not validate.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.